Welcome again to New Life, and today is a day of celebration, and as Janet mentioned, we've got some dedications, baptisms, adult baptism, professions of faith, and it's New Member Sunday. I just want to say a few words about that before I call the new members up and introduce them to you. Because I want us to wonder together about this business of membership and placing yourself in the context of a local church, right? This church we call New Life Church. New Life Church, we strive to make it a place where people are safe and free to explore and discover the power of Jesus's transforming love. A love that changes our lives. We want this to be that kind of place where people can discover that. And so people show up, and maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe it changes their lives. And maybe even for some of you sitting here, you said, wow, how do I become a part of that? I want to place myself in that. I want to commit myself to that. And so that's why we have membership. We don't just show up on our own choice here. So I want us to think of it in terms of three words. The first word is Christ. We show up together here in this place, not simply because we have a similar interest, and as soon as that similar interest leaves, then we all leave. No, we show up because of Christ. We are centered in Christ. One of the biblical images for the church, for the local church, one of the biblical pictures that the scripture gives to us is the body of Christ. And I want us this morning to be impressed as you settle in, witness the testimonies, witness the baptisms. I want you to be impressed that God would come to us, a holy God would come to unholy people and say, I'm willing to let you be a part of me. That's what the body of Christ is. God inviting us to be members in his body, to belong to him. That ought to be overwhelming for us. I think, and in another vein, the reason we talk about membership in the church and belonging to the church is not only because of Christ, but also because of community. And not just any kind of community, not just a matter of saying, oh, well, you know what, that's a cool club, I'll join it. But because that community is founded in Jesus Christ as well. So another image given to us by Scripture is that the church is the family of God. Again, be impressed that God would be willing to say, I'll take you as my kid. I mean, think about it. You perhaps have observed some children and you go, glad it's not my kid. God never says that. He never says that. The family of God. We can call ourselves brothers and sisters, not only of each other, but we can call each other brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ because of God's love for us. That's community. That's the community of Christ. Now, in the third vein, I would say we talk about membership here and we welcome new members. We want them to be a part of us, not only because they're a part of the body of Christ, not only because they're part of that community or family of God, but also because we need some way to demonstrate commitment. So think of it in terms of the three C's: Christ, community, and commitment. Just like Scripture has given us a sign of baptism, or the sign of Lord's Supper. Last week we celebrated the Lord's Supper, communion. Those are tangible ways in which God demonstrates his love for us. God recognizes, man, You guys need to have something solid, something concrete, something tactile to be able to grab a hold of my love. And so membership in the church is something like that. It's some way for us to demonstrate, yep, count me in. This isn't just a, well, let me see how I feel this Sunday. No, it's a commitment so that we can encourage each other, so that we can build each other up, so that we can hold each other accountable, I don't feel like going to church every Sunday, but there's an accountability, right? And we want to be that kind of belonging together where we can have that kind of thing happening. So today we're celebrating being the community of Christ in all of the different things that you will witness here happening on stage this morning. So I want to offer that back to God in prayer and give thanks. Join me as we pray together. Father in heaven, we're amazed that we can call you Father. God, if we're honest with ourselves, we need to confess to you, first of all, that a lot of times we don't regard you as our Father. We don't do what you say. We don't believe what you promise. We don't treat others the way that you call us to treat others. We become selfish. We become self-centered. We think that we can do it on our own. We think that we can save ourselves. We sometimes doubt whether we even need you or even whether you exist. We confess that before you, God. In the brokenness of our lives, sometimes just in the misery, we just want to throw it all away. So forgive us. We pray for your mercy, for your compassion, for your love to once again be demonstrated before us here this morning. And so, Father, we pray that as we kneel before you, that you will once again pour out all of your resources upon us so that we can live as children of our Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us, to save us, to pull us out of our misery, to heal us from our brokenness, to restore us into wholeness, so that we can live before you in joy and gladness. And forgive us, God, when we place our trust in other things other than Jesus Christ. And so we pray that Christ will make his home in our hearts, Father, not just here this morning, but as we go from this place and tomorrow, as we carry on in our regular routines and face the pressures of everything around us, be at home in our hearts, God, in our lives. Help us to trust you, not only the Savior of our lives, but as our Master, as the one who commands our life, who rules our life. And so we pray that we'll keep on digging deeper into Christ's love for us, to keep us strong in our faith and in our commitment to you. May we have the power to understand, God, as the Apostle Paul says, how wide and how long and how high, how deep is your love? God, we want to experience that love of Christ. Even when it is too great to understand fully. Overwhelm us with your love, Father. We want to be made complete in the fullness of life that comes from God. And so we commit ourselves to you. Perhaps, as for some of us, for the first time. For others of us, once again, Father, we come humbly before you and commit ourselves to you to say, yes, we will follow. Yes, we will trust. Yes, we will love you above everything else. And so we give you all the glory, God. With your mighty power at work in us, you're able to accomplish way more than we could ever imagine. Never let us forget to exalt you and to worship you with glory and honor here in this church, even as we glory in Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. All right. Well, let's get this rolling. I want to invite everybody who was in the New Life Connects class to come up on stage. There's 9 of them all together, I think, and I think they're all here. And so this is always an exciting time, and while they're coming down, let me explain. So when people attend here and they say, yeah, we want to be a part of this local body of Christ, then they take a class called New Life Connects. New Life Connects is a small group experience that introduces you to New Life Church and its ministry and what it means to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so these people participated in it. We even have one who's already a member who participated in it. And I'll introduce her to you in a moment. So when we become members of the body of Christ here in this local church, we say we covenant together. We make promises to each other. Promises that shape our lives. So here are the promises that we make to each other. These are the promises that these folks have made as they've completed the class. To live a life of personal purity and relational integrity. To uphold the unity of this body and support the leadership of this church. To set aside time daily to cultivate a relationship with God through prayer and the Word. To participate weekly in public worship. To support the ministry of New Life through faithful giving. To engage in ministry according to the spiritual gifts that God has given us. To participate in a life group. To be drawn into community and follow Jesus more faithfully. And to help friends and relatives and neighbors, people around us, into a relationship with Christ and his church. That's the covenant that we place upon ourselves. That's the commitments that we make, that shape our lives around Jesus. So, where do I start? All right. So, see, every time we do this, I just get nervous about remembering all the names and all of that stuff. So I have a nice handy cheat sheet here, so just to make sure that we've got it all good. So we have right here Ben and Sarah Audette. Ben and Sarah just got married last August, I believe. 31st? They don't even know. So, Sarah is a member of this church. She grew up in this church, right? You were baptized here, grew up, did a profession of faith. And so she wonderfully accompanied her husband to New Life Connects. And so we're welcoming Ben into membership here at New Life. And happy to have you. That's awesome. So, Ben and Sarah. Then we have Jared and Lauren Leisinga, all the way from Michigan, various parts of Michigan, more or less west, I guess, west Michigan. And Bob Brentsma comes up to me and says, hey, have you met this young couple, Jared and Lauren? And I'm like, yeah, actually, they're in my New Life Connection. Yeah, I had a sick cow, and that's how I met them. So, Jared and Lauren are both veterinarians, and I don't even know why you're here. Just got a job here? Oh, okay. So there you go. Welcome, Jared and Lauren. Oh, I should say, so Ben is becoming a member, and he was a past member of another church, and so he is being welcomed. Jared is doing a profession of faith today, and we'll be welcoming him into membership. Lauren will be also giving her testimony and then being baptized. And I forgot to put the heater on this morning. Paramedics, just be... I think we're good. It is at 60. Yikes. Okay. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Jacob Visser. Jacob Visser is from Ontario. So I suspect Janet met Jacob's parents. They're here from Ontario today. And so Jacob is here and was working in Tofino. It's a really cool story. Ask Jacob about it sometime. It's a perfect way to introduce yourself to Jacob and get to know him a little bit. A really awesome story of how God worked in his life. And Jacob's going to be doing a profession of faith this morning, and we're going to receive him into membership that way. Cool? Welcome, Jacob. All right. Then we have Rick Ross and Raven Wincup. And this is the second time in a row that this has happened. So a couple comes in to New Life Connects, and then they exit because of the arrival of a baby. And so we've been praying for Rick and Raven and little Gabriel. And where's Micah? Micah's not here. She's downstairs. She's tucked away. Nice, neat. Yep. Okay. Excellent. And so we're so glad Rick and Raven are here. They are otherwise busy traveling to Children's Hospital. Gabriel was born prematurely and then later discovered that he has heart issues. And so he's at Children's Hospital. And so please, we want to continue to remember little Gabriel and pray that everything will be figured out and that Gabriel can grow up healthy and strong and certainly at this point come home soon, right? So, in fact, why don't we just take a moment and pray for Rick and Raven and Gabriel, all right? Father, we commit little Gabriel to you. And God, we pray that you will provide health and strength for him. Bless doctors and medical staff who are caring for him. And we pray, God, that you will be with Rick and Raven. Give them strength and blessing as they travel back and forth to Children's Hospital. And we pray, Father, that you will encourage them and give them strength to press on, trusting in you and in your goodness and in your faithfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're one day going to have another grand celebration when we receive Rick and Raven into membership. Rick would be coming from another church, and Raven would be baptized for the first time. She was so eager to do this, and we were so looking forward to it. But of course, so we'll do it another time, and we can't wait. It's going to be good. All right. And then we have a brand new family. You've never seen them before. How long have you been attending here? 7 years. Sheldon and Kim Frail, and Lila, and Lucy, and Lise. And Lise is going to be dedicated today. And so we're welcoming them into membership as well. And so please, welcome Frails. All right, so isn't God good? This is amazing. And we're so happy to welcome you into membership, into participating into the life of New Life Church. And we hope and pray that God will bless you enormously as you participate in this community. Look at all these lovely faces. And we are family together. And we're also praying that God will continue to encourage you, strengthen you as you walk in faith to love him and serve him. So thank you for having the courage to stand up here. Some of you are going to step down and go back to your seats. Audette's will, Lysinga's will, Jacob Visser will, Rick and Raven will, Sheldon will stay up here. Then we also have a two dedications and a baptism. So I would like to invite Teason's up and Venema's. Awesome. Yes. All right. This is so good. Ah, so fun. As long as I can keep it all straight. All right. So we're celebrating God's gift of children as well today, as he blesses us with children, celebrating God's grace in these young lives. And so Frails and Teason's will dedicate their child, and Venema's are going to baptize their child. In a dedication, parents bring their child to God and they say, "We promise to raise this child to know you, to love you, so that they'll live their life with you and find freedom in you." And then as a congregation, we join together in that promise to say, "Yep, yeah, we're right behind you. We're with you in this." So, could I take Lise? She's strong. She's strong?
Yeah.
Good, because I'm not. Hi. Oh, my, you are bright-eyed. Wow. The first time I saw Lise, I think she was probably half this size. A third of this size? Yeah. Oh, my. You are growing up, girl. Wow. Wonderful. So Kim and Sheldon have named this little one Lise Alma. Lise is, it's derived from Elizabeth, which is a Hebrew name, and it means God is promise. The part of the name from that is a Hebrew word that is used for a Thanksgiving festival. And so the intent of God is promise is to convey the sense that God will always provide, that he will always give us nourishment, that he will always take care of us. And certainly Kim and Sheldon have witnessed that. With Lise being prematurely born. How many weeks early? 3 months early. Yeah, yeah. So you spent some significant time at the hospital as well. And we're just so delighted that Lise is doing well. And she is just so calm and quiet. It's, wow. I wish I had a camera. You could see this. This is just beautiful. It's amazing. Alma is a Latin name, and it means nourishing. And so I think a beautiful blend of names. And I want to bless Lise with this verse from John chapter 6, Jesus' own words, where he says, "Lise, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." God bless you. Kim and Sheldon, God has given you this precious gift. Three precious gifts, in fact. And in offering your child back to God, you declare that you love God with all your heart. You declare that Jesus is the Savior of your life and that you desire the Spirit of God to live in you. And by that Spirit's power, we ask you to make these promises: that you will instruct this child in the truth of God's word and in the way of salvation for Jesus, and that you will pray for your child and teach her to pray, and that you will raise her in a church community that represents the body of Christ in this world so that she can learn to be a citizen of God's kingdom. What is your answer? Awesome. All right. You are a wonderful little girl. All right, this is Hope Avery Teason. Wonderful. Oh, yes. Wow, are they the same age?
They were supposed to be born at the same time, but then she came
early. Oh, then she came early. Oh, okay, because she's later.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're late. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is Hope Avery. And Hope, the meaning of the name Hope is very complicated. It means hope. It's a beautiful name. In fact, the Puritans began using the English word hope as a name back in the 17th century. So a time of turmoil in the church, a time of suffering, persecution, and lots of fighting and that kind of stuff. And so people clung to that as a name to remind them that their hope is in Jesus Christ. And appropriately named, beautifully named, Hope Avery. Now, Avery really is more complicated in terms of a meaning. And for the most part, we're just going to ignore it, actually, because Avery comes from the English name of Alfred, actually. And Alfred really doesn't mean much. It means ruler of the elves. And I had absolutely no idea what to do with that. So we're just going to ignore that. I want to bless Lise with this scripture from Psalm 33. What? Oh, yeah, we did, Lise. Sorry. Thank you. See, that's accountability right there. Thank you. I want to bless Hope with these words from Psalm 33. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So God has given you this precious gift, Justin and Tessa. He's given you this gift to delight in. And in offering your child back to God, you declare that you love God with all your heart, that Jesus is the Savior and the Master of your life, and that you desire the Spirit to live in you. And with that Spirit's power, do you make these promises: that you will instruct this child in the truth of God's word and in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, that you will pray for your child and teach her to pray, and that you will raise her in a church community that represents the body of Christ in this world so that she can learn to be a citizen of God's kingdom. What is your answer? Awesome. Awesome. Bless you guys. All right. We're to the Venomous. All right. Okay, so let's gather around, trade places. How about? All right. I can't believe, look at how big James is. We just baptized James. All right, so you carry him, and you've got Caitlin. So, it says Joel and Janine Venema and little James, and they've named their daughter Caitlin Cynthia, both Greek names. Yeah, imagine that. Are you Greek background? I know you're not. Oh, well, sounds good. New Testament was written in Greek, so, you know, that's a good thing. Caitlin means pure, and Cynthia is another complicated name. There's a whole pile of backstory and Greek mythology behind it. So I'm just going to declare that it means mountain. And so that's just my declaration. Caitlin Cynthia. And I've chosen this verse for Caitlin. And it's very simple. It's from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, part of his Beatitudes. And it's this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So in baptism, as we baptize Caitlin, God places his promise on this child, promises to love her and to forgive her and to give her life and to provide for her and to sustain her throughout all her life, to be present with her and to claim her as his own. And so as God extends those promises to Caitlin, then we also invite you as parents to make promises back to God as part of this covenant thing that we talked about earlier, as all of us make covenant together with God. So as we come to baptism, Joel and Janine, do you make these following promises back to God? To accept God's gracious promises, to live in the faith that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and to love him and trust him as the one who saved you from sin, and with repentance and joy to embrace him as the ruler of your life, and in reliance on the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Christian community, do you also promise to instruct your child by words and by example in the truth of God's word and in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? What is your answer? Awesome. All right. Well, let's baptize Caitlin. Caitlin Cynthia Venema, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here you go. All right. Marvelous. Yes. That's worth a clap. All right. I want to invite family and friends of these families just to surround them in prayer. We're backed up a little bit, so why don't we just come forward, separate out a little bit, and give yourself some room. So family and friends, come on up, and we just want to offer a prayer to bless these families. Marvelous. All right. We're good? All right. Good, beautiful. So extend a hand of blessing upon these families and let's pray together. Father in heaven, we praise you that you are a good God. We praise you for giving the gift of children to these three families. And we pray, Father, that you will bless these families and that by your Spirit you will encourage them day by day as they grow up in you to love you and to serve you. We pray, God, that you will bless them with your Spirit, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of blessing, a spirit of peace, and a spirit of joy. God, we pray that as the family of God, we join together with them. And we look forward to the day in which these children can respond to your grace and know that their Savior is Jesus Christ. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we pray that you will watch over these families. Watch over the Teesons, watch over the Frails, watch over the Venemas, God. Bless them. Help them to grow up in you, to rejoice in your faithfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You can go back to your seats. We got more to do. Oh, she reached the end. All right. Here's that. And did they escape already? I'm going to give you this. Pass along to your son. Oh, there he is. And Benema's. Woohoo, all the way over there. All right. We're also welcoming into membership then and hearing the testimonies of Jacob Visser and Lauren and Jared. So I'm going to invite them up at this time. We're going to hear their testimonies and the promises that they make to follow Jesus. And Jacob and Jared were baptized as children, and so they are now responding to God's grace in their lives with this commitment to love and serve him. And Lauren is doing the same, but for the first time then will be baptized today as well and receive the promises of God to be a daughter of the King. And so we're looking forward to that. So, Jacob, how about you go first? You go ahead and give your testimony. Speak well into the mic here.
Speak well into the mic, he says.
Yes. Okay, you're all set.
All right. Good morning. I brought a paper because the first time I tried to write share my testimony with someone, it ended up being about an hour. So let's not do that again. All right. So we had to start this back when I was in high school, and now you could probably see why this took about an hour. When I was in high school, I had a sort of emptiness in my life. Unsure what to actually do with it, I resorted to girls and drinking to fill it. I bent morals, and I eventually broke them, creating new ones in their places that did not honor God. I started to care a lot more about what other people thought and a lot less of what God thought. I was living two lives, the life I showed my family and church community and the life I lived with my friends. A few years later, I went to college, and I went for culinary management. Graduating college, I got a job in Tofino on the island, and so I packed my bags and I left Ontario. On the route to Tofino, I stopped in multiple places, one of the last being in Abbotsford at Ed and Sue Brunsma's. During the one night that I was there, I connected with Ed, and he had told me that if anything ever happened and I needed somewhere to go, he would help me find a job and would give me a place to stay. At the time, I didn't actually think much into it. On arrival in Tofino, I continued my pattern of working and drinking, and I found myself in a world of my own creation, being a person I made up in the attempt to gain the favor of people that I didn't actually know. I'd fail multiple times before ever actually asking for help. Somewhere in the middle of the summer, my older sister sent me a text containing a link to an online church she watched. At the time, I didn't think anything of it, and I didn't actually open it. That's around the time that I started to get anxiety attacks from the amount that was on my plate. It started off as just the big thing stressing me out until it slowly became everything, shooting spikes of anxiety through me. I resorted more heavily to drinking and partying to help calm myself down and to help me get ready for the next day's shift. Getting further and further into a newfound depression where I didn't actually know where to go or who I could turn to, I lost inspiration. Simple things like making dinner or lunch or anything really just became quick meals like ramen and mac and cheese, which are great, but I mean, you can only have those so many times a week. I stopped taking care of myself and I just completely lost hope. I remember a phone call in specific where I talked to my mother on the phone and I wasn't able to contain my crying. I needed help and I didn't know where to go. Unbeknownst to me, my mom prayed for someone to show up in Tofino, and a few days later, Sue texted me saying that she was on her way. So when they got there, I met up with them, we went for dinner, and we caught up. Before they left, Ed pulled me aside again and he reiterated, if I ever needed help or needed somewhere to go, their house is open. Work started getting significantly worse for me, so I sent Ed a text asking if he had a moment, and he simply replied, when are you going to show up? So shortly after, I pulled over the executive chef and I put in my month's notice. In this time, I also hit rock bottom and I realized that I actually need more help than I had previously realized. God brought back the memory of the online church my sister had sent me, and he got me thinking, I should open that link she sent me. So I began watching live church sermons led by Craig Rochelle. The first series I watched was titled Hope in the Dark, and this series was based off the book of Habakkuk and was about believing that God is good in a world that wasn't. This series is what opened the door for faith for me. I began binge watching sermons online, And this led to praying, Lord, reveal to me the lie that the enemy tells. God brought to light something I had feared my whole life with no real reason, my fear of talking about my faith in front of people. So I prayed again, Lord, give me the opportunity to overcome this fear. I prayed this not thinking anything would happen, but the very next day I went to work, and one of the only people that was actually a friend of mine that I was working with at the time, he set up his station beside me, and he brought up religion. He said that he believed in a higher power, but he didn't know what to believe in. And so he asked me what I believed in, and I was straight shook. I didn't know how to react, to be honest. We started talking about faith almost every day until my last shift at the Wiccan Inishin about 2 weeks later. That's when I started to see that God really is faithful. I started laying things at God's feet, and one by one, he provided answers. One of the things I had worried about most is moving to Abbotsford, knowing nobody except Ed and Sue, who are cool, but I didn't think I could solely hang out with them 24/7. Sure enough, shortly after I prayed, I got a text from Mike Vanderquack, and he said a group of young adults were coming to Tofino and we're going to go surfing. They wanted me to try to meet up with them. And so when I went out to meet them, the first person I saw was this crazy, enthusiastic, bald guy. You guys probably know him as Justin Dudney. The group welcomed me with open arms. The people I met are now some of my closest friends and have helped me actually see a future here in Abbotsford. Arriving here, I had a long way to go, and I decided to start praying to learn patience, learning the hard way why people say, do not pray, to learn patience. God has been showing me just how much he loves me and seems to thoroughly enjoy showing me his humor through situations that he'll put me in. I found community and love overflowing through God, and I know the journey has only just begun. And I'd like to read from Habakkuk 3, verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He gives me feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instruments. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jacob. That's quite a testimony. And it's really cool to hear from someone how God, once again, patiently shows us his faithfulness and says, I'm there for you. And because your testimony was long, I felt like God said, well, I can outdo you. So I'm going to read all of 1 Timothy. No, I'm not. No. But I chose a passage, which is a little bit longer, from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And these are Paul's words to young Timothy, and where Paul says, you've been raised, this is from the Message, you've been raised on the message of the faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion and exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gym are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially believers. From 1 Timothy chapter 4. So, Jacob, as you've given your testimony, we also invite you to make your commitment before Jesus Christ. Jacob, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent to redeem the world? Do you love him and trust him as the one who has saved you from sin? And do you, with repentance and joy, embrace him as the master of your life? And will you commit yourself to strengthening and deepening your relationship with God through worship, Bible reading, prayer, through serving God wherever he leads you? And will you allow us as a church family to help you keep these commitments to Jesus and his church? What is your answer?
I do.
Awesome. Yes. So, that's yours. God bless you, man. Yeah. All right. I think the next hardest thing to giving your testimony is just standing up here waiting to give your testimony. So bless you guys. Go ahead.
All right, good morning. My name is Jared Lazinga. I grew up near Grand Rapids, Michigan, and was fortunate to grow up and be raised in a Christian family. I'm blessed with a loving family that invested ample amounts of time and resources into my faith. Now, recently, my wife Lauren and I have moved away from Michigan and are now living here in Abbotsford. Throughout our travels and adventures to a new country and community, God's been watching over us and provides us with comfort away from home. We have provided our faith in Him and strive to honor Him in all that we do. I hope that God will use us within the church and community to help spread His word and that we can continue to grow in faith daily.
Thanks, Jared. Way to go. Jared was like, I don't know if I can do that. That is scary stuff. You did well. And Jared, I want to bless you with these words from Philippians chapter 2, also words of the Apostle Paul. And again, from the Message, he says, what I'm getting at, friend, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living with you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God Himself, willing and working at what will give Him the most pleasure. Live for God. Live for His pleasure, Jared. Jared, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent to redeem the world? Do you love Him? Do you trust Him as the one who saved you from sin? And do you, with repentance and with joy, embrace Him as the master of your life? And will you commit yourself to strengthening and deepening your relationship with God through worship, through Bible reading, through prayer, and through serving God wherever He leads you? And will you allow us as a church family to help you keep these commitments to Jesus and His church? What is your answer?
I do.
Awesome. Good. I know, Lauren, you're anxious. Bless you, man. Yeah.
Good morning. I am from South Haven, Michigan, where I grew up attending a Baptist church with my mother. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a young age, but was never baptized. Starting in middle school and continuing through high school and undergrad, I struggled with feelings of isolation, loneliness, and social anxiety. I was often unhappy, but I couldn't understand why, because I had a loving family, close friends, my needs were met, and I was involved in activities I enjoyed. As I struggled with these feelings, I reacted by pushing away from the church and engaging in behaviors that I deemed normal for my age, such as lying to my parents and sneaking around, making poor relationship choices, and underage drinking. Not surprisingly, this led to more unhappiness. This continued, but during my senior year of college, I wrestled with my faith. Did I still believe what I had been taught as a child about God? Or was it time to give that up completely so I could stop feeling guilty about the choices I was making? I came to the conclusion that God had revealed Himself to me enough times in answer to prayer that I could trust He is real and He is good, even though a lot of things about the Bible, heaven, and hell don't make sense to me. I began a slow process of giving my control of my life over to Him and have seen the result in overwhelming joy, contentment, and peace. I struggle with relinquishing control and with doubt and unbelief on a daily basis, but I feel God slowly making progress in my life. Two of the things He has been encouraging me to do are to be involved in a church home and to be baptized, which has led me here today.
Thank you. So good. So good. Wow. Thank you, God. So, Lauren, I chose for you, reflecting on your testimony, a passage also from Philippians. I thought that would be appropriate to have, you know, from the same book. So, also the words of Paul, but not so much Paul speaking to you, but maybe Paul's own testimony reflects something of your own. And this is what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, again from the Message. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything that God has for us. If any of you has something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. So, bless you. All right, good. Thank you for your testimony. Isn't that amazing? Wow. I just want to invite friends and family then to come up and surround these folks. And I know you're nervous because you don't have a lot of family here and none of you do, but you know what? You got family here. I mean, they could even surprise us and all come up. Nah, you don't have to. Let's just surround these folks here. And again, extend a hand of blessing on these people as they have made their commitments. Beautiful. Yeah. So good. Yeah. See, so the New Life Connects class, they all come up because in that small group experience, they've experienced something of what it means to be connected to each other in Jesus Christ. Beautiful picture. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we acknowledge that you have led these people on a journey of faith that has pulled them into yourself. And so, God, as they have made their commitments to you, we commit them to you and pray that you will sustain their faith, that you will encourage them in times of trouble, that you will bless them with joy and happiness, that you will guide them in all of the situations of life, and that you will be near to them in the times of their lives when it feels like they have nothing else before them. And so, God, we pray that they will grow up into Christ to mature as followers of Jesus, and that day by day they may celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing these people into our presence to be a part of this community. And so even as they enrich our lives here together, we pray, God, that we will surround them and bless them with strength and courage to help build them up in the faith as well. And so, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. You are a good God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. And Jared and Lauren, you can stay here. We'll baptize you.